Let me see here. Let me get my place here in John chapter 4. I believe, okay, I'm going to start in verse 10. And this, for the sake of time, familiar scripture with everybody, the woman at the well. And, of course, Jesus was at the well. The disciples had gone into town to get something to eat. The Lord, you know, he said there one place, I must needs go through Samaria. Well, I'm glad he went through Samaria one day in my life. And, I tell you what, there's a lot here if we just get a hold of it. I saw some things that I just hadn't really thought about. I'm going to try to share them with you this morning. But anyway, the conversation's already going on between him and her in verse 10. It said, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Living water is going to be the theme of the lesson. The woman said unto him, sir, there hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then ask thou that living water? And verse 13 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give, shall never thirst. You ever drunk of that water? But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I want to talk about how deep is the well. You ever thought about it? Two different wells I'm talking about. One's Jacob's well. The other one is the well of the living water. Jeremiah 2 and 13 says, For my people have committed two evils. They forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. I think that's where we're at today in our society. I'm going to tell you, I'll take a good fresh drink out of the spring anytime over cistern water. And I've talked about that in here before. It's something I kind of... you know, in my childhood, I remember, and a lot of people back in those days had cisterns, and I remember that, Brother Rick, and I remember how awful it was. It's the worst stuff that you ever tried to drink in your life. You know, all it would do just kind of sustain you. That's about all it did. It wouldn't really satisfy the thirst. Matter of fact, you about get sick, or I would. I guess a lot of people, maybe you might get used to it. And people get used to the religious ways today. They think they're doing pretty good, and all they're doing is just getting by. That's kind of the way that cistern water was. All you done is just got by on it. Every time I never took a drink of it, it didn't make me sick. I mean, not really sick, but made me want to be sick, I guess. But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how deep is the well. Let's see, I'm going to skip some verses here and go on over. Verse 25, and the woman said unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Then in verse 28, said the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said unto the men, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is this not the Christ? I want to go back over in Matthew chapter 7. I want to look at... I thought about this. Share it with you here. like I said, trying to get things in my mind in order. I've meditated and thought a lot on this. And again, remember, we're talking about Jacob's well, or the drawing water in the religious realm, so to speak, I guess. And the real living water. How deep's the well? This woman was thinking about the physical side, drawing water out of the well. And she told the Lord Jesus, she said, "You don't have anything to draw with," paraphrasing. And I thought about this, preacher. Just a thought come to my mind. You could have a rope that would reach from here to California, and you couldn't draw water out of the living well. The living water won't help you a bit. Don't matter how long the rope is. Don't matter how big around it is. What gauge it is or whatever. A lot of people are trying to draw today with a rope. That's what happened in Matthew chapter 7 to these people, I think. I want to look at some results of drawing with a rope. I'm meditated on this, about the religion of the world. I say religion lightly, not being born again, but religion, and how that people are deceived in religion, and how that people think they can, and this Jacob's well, you know, it was a place that was well known, not saying anything bad about it. It had the historical points in the scriptures and all that thing. But there was no living water there, Brother Lowell. It was just a place that they come to satisfy the flesh when you was thirsty. That's all it done. Nothing living about it. Just get you day to day. And I think that's where the religious realm's at today. They've drawn out of this well, and they've used a rope, and it tells us about these people in Matthew chapter 7. It says, "Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there be that find it." Makes another statement, beware of false prophets. That's the fellers that draw with the ropes, false prophets. Then in verse 21 it says, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father." And many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Now think about this. I thought about what preacher, and he, thank you, preacher, for that message Wednesday night. That stirred my soul. That's what we need. I believe in my heart that's what we need. But these people, they said, "Lord, Lord." They were, and that's what preacher was talking about, being sincere. I don't believe you'll get any more sincere than what these people were. They thought they were right. And as preacher taught Wednesday night, preached, they were willingly ignorant. There's really no cause for people to be willingly ignorant. But they were, and they said, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" And he said, and then he said, "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And the next verse says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to him to a man which built his house upon the rock." A rock. In verse 21, and he said, "And who he that doeth the will of my Father?" You know what the will of the Father is?
Yes, sir, that they believe on Christ. Amen.
The will of the Father is not that you try to get a rope and draw out of the well of water. It won't do you no good. And boy, I thought about this. They used to have an old saying, Brother Fain, and I know a lot of us probably, and I know you know, because you're about 95. You need to go to the head of the stream to find the well. I'll tell you something else you'll find at the head of the stream. You'll find the rock. And when he's saying here, he that doth the will of my Father, that's what he's saying. Go to the head of the stream where the living water's at. That's what I want to talk about this morning. At the head of the stream, you'll find some things. You know that? I remember as a boy, back when I was just a young'un, we didn't have no faucets you turned on in the kitchen. We had a water bucket. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? Water bucket? That water bucket had a dipper in it, Brother Lowell. And everybody drunk out of the same bucket, out of the same dipper. That wouldn't be right to do that today, I don't guess, but it worked back then. I remember going to that well and getting that water. You go to the head of the stream, you'll find a well somewhere. I was talking to Ralph yesterday about over in Orbank, where my daughter and son-in-law lives over there. There's a creek runs through the property. And I got to thinking about that one day, and I thought, well, I'm going to see where that's coming from. You know what I knew? I knew if I got up in there high enough, so far enough, somewhere, there'd be a spring. And more than likely, over there, you could about count on them being a rocker. You go to the head of the stream, you'll find a spring. When you find a spring, you're probably going to find a rock. Amen? I thought about that rock. That's what it mentions here. I think the Lord told the Apostle Peter, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Over there, he said, in Matthew, he said, there was some people that built a house, and they built it on the rock. And that house weathered a storm. You'll find a rock. Over in 1 Corinthians, I looked this up this morning. 1 Corinthians, I think, chapter 10 probably. Let me read this to you. Chapter 10, verse 3. This is speaking of the children of God in the wilderness. He said, and all ate of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink of the same spiritual drink. And they drank of the spiritual rock, capital R-O-C-K, that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Boy, I'm glad it was the rock in the Old Testament. It's the rock in the New Testament. And so you'll find the rock there. That rock was Christ. I'll tell you some other things that we miss a lot today. Even in the true believing church, what we know as a fundamental church, this used to be common in the fundamental church, Brother Rick. Not so much anymore. You'll find at the head of the stream, you'll find a rock. Then you'll find contrition. What is that? Somebody said, what is that? That's something you don't hear much about anymore. Contrition is having a sense of remorse for the deeds you committed that wasn't so good. I think it's still a biblical term today. Then you'll find conviction. We hear a lot about that around here. I'm glad we do. We need to. You'll be surprised at churches just like this that you don't hear much about it. Brother Billy used to have a saying, no conviction, no conversion. That was true when he is alive. It's still true today. Without conviction, according to this blessed old book that we read and pray about and study and come together and meet around every Sunday and Wednesday and take home with us and get out occasionally and read. And Brother Lowell, there's a lot in there about conviction. There's a lot in there about, may not just be the word conviction, but there's a lot of things in there about conviction. I say, with no conviction, no conversion. With no contrition, no conviction. Now, these are the old-time terms, but they're still fresh on the mind of God today. They need to be fresh on our minds. Even if we're saved, we need to remember where the Lord brought us from. I remember, I can go back and think about my conversion. I was just a young man, but I know how it took place. I think this woman here at the well was a true picture of true conversion. Contrition, conviction, repentance. You know, a lot of people today are preaching conversion without repentance. There just ain't no such thing. One way I know that is when I go back and think about when I got saved. I didn't know much. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I was just a young boy. Boy, I think a lot about it. I don't understand it. I don't know why the Lord saved me. All I know is somebody must have prayed for me. There's a whole lot there I don't understand. But I do understand a few things. The Lord troubled my soul as a young man. I remember the preacher preaching. And this may have been the case with you. I don't know if it was or not. I just know about myself. People get saved different ways, but they got to come the same way. I think the Lord deals with people in different ways. I know how he dealt with me. He troubled my soul. And I got to thinking about things I was going to have to give up. Preacher, if I got saved. Things I was doing, nothing terrible. It was terrible. At that time, it seemed real bad. But in the standards of today, it wouldn't have been anything. But I got to thinking about things I was going to have to give up, I was going to have to quit doing. I had remorse for the things that I had done. I got under conviction. I remember preacher preaching. I'd leave and wouldn't get saved. But I didn't get away from it. I'd go back, same old thing again. I thought he wasn't preaching nobody. I thought that he wasn't preaching nobody but me. I thought he looked at me all the time. I'm serious. I don't know if it's like that with anybody else or not, but that's the way it was with me. And I thought, I kind of had to, the devil every now and then kind of get in there and he'd say, he's a meddling in your business. He was a meddling in business, it wasn't a preacher. But I remember that, and I remember, y'all might not want to hear this, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I just remember the Lord had dealt with my heart as a young man. And he dealt with me in such a manner that I come to the place, I said, I'm going to do that. I was willing to do it under any circumstances. You'll find commitment at the spring of the living water. You don't hear much about that anymore. You find contrition, you find conviction, you find repentance, and you find commitment. Preacher, I was willing to do anything. It didn't matter. Was you like that? I come to the place where I said, I'll do whatever I got to do. There's one thing about it, I found this out. You do what you're supposed to, you don't have to worry about the other end. He'll take care of his side. Commitment. Conversion. You'll find conversion at the head of the stream. This woman said, come see a man. She throwed that water pot away. I don't know if she literally threw it away or just left it or whatever. But she said this, come see a man that told me all things I ever did. That's about the way I felt. Conversion. Conversion means moving from one place to another place. I know we got a verse that we use a lot of times. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ. I think we just say this a lot of times. We don't even think about what we're saying. But I tell you right now, there's more there to be said than I can say this morning. If any man or woman be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Does that mean you're going to live perfect? No, it don't mean that. That means you have a sense of changed attitude about the way you look at things. Old things, the things that used to be, that's what I'm talking about a while ago, the things that I had to, that I know and I realize in my heart and life, that I was going to have to quit and give up. Don't hear much about giving up stuff today. All you hear anymore is just ask Jesus to come into your heart, make a decision for Christ. Don't you get sold on that bill of goods, because that's wrong. The reason I know it's wrong is because of my conversion. That's that rope that leads from here to California. You know, I'm convinced, I thought about this morning, I just stopped and laid back and studied and thinking. I am convinced, I know you've heard people say this before, I'm serious, I believe it though. I believe there's more people going to hell out of the church than they are out of the bar room. And that don't make me feel good to say that. It saddens my heart. You'll find conversion. And you'll find a new creature at the head of the spring, at the head of the brook, at the spring, where the rock's at. I'm talking about true conversion. I'm talking about living water. Like I said, I believe we hear that here, and thank the Lord for it, but a lot of churches don't hear it. A lot of places. It's been twisted around. Most of your religious realm today, just all it wants to do is make people feel good about themselves. I tell you, if you hear this gospel preach, it might make you happy sometime, but I'm going to tell you another thing. It'll make you sad sometimes, too. That is the way it works. It don't make you feel good about yourself all the time. It's supposed to make you feel bad about yourself sometimes. And most of the time when I leave, I feel worse about myself. I feel like I'm not doing as good as I ought to do. I feel like I've failed in so many places, and I have. I don't just feel that way, but I have, and we all do. But I'm going to tell you something that makes me feel good. I've got an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, anchored over on the other side. Brother Rose, it's as sure as I am a standing where I am right now. And that means more to me as time goes on than any other thing. That's the reason he said, not lay up for yourself treasure on earth. Things has took more of my life than they should have took. And we all probably agree to that. But do we make an effort to change it? A couple other things I want to look at here, and then we'll be done. You know, while he was here at the well, and after his meeting with this woman and all the things that happened, those disciples came back. They'd been into town to get something to eat, just paraphrasing, you know, I don't. And they was worried about the Lord eating. They was wanting him to eat. And he made this statement in verse 34. And Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I saw something in that I hadn't ever saw before. And I believe the Lord showed it to me. And I tried to get it in my heart and mind. It'll make me a better Christian. It'll make me more what I ought to be. Just to be reminded of a long way. I thought about the Lord. And to me, what he's just saying, and I'm sure what that means is, of all the things that the Lord Jesus done while he was here on earth for 33 and a half years, he done a lot of things. We all know about that. He caused the blind to see. He raised the dead, fed the poor. He done a lot of things. But in the life, in his life, in his ministry while he was here on earth, everything that he done like it was, that was kind of over here on the side. I believe, preacher, and I believe I'm right, in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, he never lost sight of Calvary. Even all the things that he done, while they were important, there was another thing that was on his mind that he never lost sight of. Here he is. Probably hadn't eaten who knows when. And these disciples were looking at it from a fleshly side. Nothing matter with that. But he wasn't looking at it like that. He was looking at, I have something to do that's more important. More important than raising the dead. More important than causing the blind to see. He never took his eyes off Calvary. If you can get that in your mind, and it's hard to do, it's like he separated that. And that was the priority. I said that to say this. I thought about this. In the mind of God, he stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But as far as you and I are concerned, the job that he come to do had to be finished. His soul, mind, and thought was on Calvary and the resurrection. You see, like I said last Sunday or Sunday before last, whenever it was, everything hinges on the resurrection. One more thing. Look over in verse 42. Verse 41. I saw this. There's something here I don't understand. We'll get the preacher to tell us about it. But in verse 41 it says, And many more believed. Well, let me back up. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans. You got to understand this to really understand what's going on. These Samaritans wasn't Jews. They're outside. And many of the Samaritans in that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. She leaves her water pot. She goes back to the city. And I think we can surmise in our mind what this woman was and what she'd been into and what she'd done. You can do that. She said, come see a man that told me all things I ever done. I guess to really understand this statement, we'd really have to know that woman. And it says here that some believed upon her profession. I can understand that. We still do that today. That's the reason we go out, preacher, like we did yesterday. But in verse 41, it said, and many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, and this is what I've got a question mark in my mind here. Now. If you look at that, that's not just now. That's a now in the middle of a sentence that's a capital letter. I think it's important that I'm going to try to dig into that a little more and see what I can find out. But that's unusual, to say the least. But it says, now we believe because of thy saying, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. I think in every conversion, whether it's everything's got to go through the Word of God, whether somebody else is telling you, where it's a preacher or preaching, whatever the case is. But I believe ultimately he himself speaks to our heart. And what they're saying here is we're abundantly satisfied. We're abundantly satisfied and assured that this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Savior of the world. What's that mean? That means not just to the Jews, but the Savior of the world. We're satisfied that this is him. Are you satisfied it was him? I tell you something. There's a lot more to this than what we're hearing today. I got messed up on my time this morning. I was in the truck, Brother Rick, wanting to come to church about 20 to 8. But it was really, I was wanting to come 20 to 9, it was really 20 to 8. But anyway, I went back in. I'd done studied and was happy with everything that went in the lesson, so I turned the TV on. Guess what I seen? I seen Mr. Trump on there with a bunch of people praying around him, praying on him, laying on hands. And boy, I think that, you know, that's good in one sense. But there's a bunch of women laying on hands. Probably ever, as we got an old saying, ever Dick, Tom, and Harry laying on hands. I'm just saying that to say this, there's more to it. That's what's been, than what's being portrayed in the, I didn't know that, but that woman, they had her on there, and she's, preacher, she said she'd been his pastor for 17 years. I don't know where you'd be better off with that one or not. Probably. Because them people over in chapter 7 of Matthew, that's what happened to them. I thought about this and I'll hush. Richard done told me about leaving without no mic on, so I'm hushing, but I'm going to say this. I thought about this. I pray for my grandkids and I pray for a lot of people. Lost people. I'm talking about lost people now that pray they'll be saved and pray for your grandboys, preacher, and so forth. But I think in my mind they'd be better off to hear no truth than to hear half truth. I believe that's right. It ain't nothing but a lie. It's just, all it is something to get your mind messed up into thinking about, you know,